Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I just wanted to pause for a moment. Oh my goodness, you know. You know, as I was spending some time, you know, we were focusing on recently, actually for a long time, we just have an opportunity to talk more about, you know, America and our history and what's going on and all. And I think about what Dr. King said, and I forget the quote, but the quote that Dr. King used was, the greatest injustice of all, I think, is the silence, something of that nature. You can probably think of the quote while I'm talking about it. And you always think about quotes after somebody has done their journey of what they were delivering to mankind and all, and you kind of put their life into sound bites, and you don't realize that, no, I mean, that has a lot behind that. There's a lot behind that. That is when good people, you know, do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that concerns me about what God is showing me, he spent, you know, all last year just downloading our history, and I see why probably they don't teach it, but but we've got to begin to teach it. Is because the God's heart's broken over something, and so often we think because, you know, nobody's heart's broken and everybody's silent, then God's heart's not broken and God's silent.
Mm-hmm.
But God's just, you know, and he's loving. And every human being on the face of the earth, he created in his image and his likeness. And just because you don't like his image does not mean that he does not like his image. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, when you think about the disciples, these are disciples that walked with Jesus. I mean, they were in and out conversation, laying their head, you know, on the chest of God, on the chest of Jesus, hearing his heartbeat, hearing his voice as he would explain to them details and, you know, things that are going on and communicating God's heart to mankind. And I mean, these guys knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they walked out and in his name. They did ministry in his name. And remember this, Judas did too.
Mm.
And so there's power in the name, in your name,
not my name,
but in his name. And just because there's power in his name don't mean your name's written in the Lamb's book of, but it can be, Matthew chapter 7. Go there. Anyway, so, and so here these guys are. I mean, they're walking with Jesus, man. I mean, they are. They stuck in there. They gave up, you know, everything and said, I'm going to follow you. They were willing to be unpopular. They were willing when everybody left God, when everybody left Jesus, you know, he talks about it in John chapter 6, that, they stayed. I mean, you think when the whole world leaves, I mean, you know, anyway. And so they stayed and Jesus said, you know, where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What are you going to do? And you're always, there's going to be a time in your life that, you know, you're going to face that moment when God's going to say, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? And you're going to have to answer it by your behaviors, by your actions, and what's going on. But the interesting thing, because Jesus had already paid the price for our sins on the cross, he had already been buried in the grave, and he's been resurrected on the third day, and he's walking on the face of the earth in his resurrected body, but he has not yet gone to heaven, ascended to heaven. And so he's going down this particular road called Emmaus, this road called Emmaus Road. Mm-hmm. And he's walking with the very disciples that walked with him. Mm-hmm. And talking to him. And so the disciples are talking and saying things like, you know, it's just so sad, you know, Jesus had walked with us. We thought it was going to be like this. And now they killed him. And we don't. They're just depressed and they're sad, and they're explaining this to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're explaining this to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even know. They didn't realize you're talking to Jesus about Jesus and the answer to your problem standing in front of you. And this is what the Word of God says. He says because he came to them in a different form, they didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says this. He says, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done to me. Understand this, that you could be complaining about what your perception of what happened with God and what's happening in your life, not understanding you're looking Jesus square in the eye. Because he's saying, Paul, remember, or Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? And most people would say, I'm not persecuting you. You're up there. I'm dealing with these people here that's got it all wrong. And he says, no, you're persecuting me. Mm-hmm. And so they were talking to Jesus about Jesus, and they didn't recognize him. You know why? Because he came to them in a different nationality, a different ethnicity, a different outer garment that they did not really realize who he was. But their hearts burn when he was talking to them. Mm. And when your heart is burning, when you're hearing and you're speaking, hearing these words from somebody, you're talking to a brother or a sister in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're talking to family.
Yeah.
No matter if they come to you in a different form, something that you're not used to. And when you look at the history of America, I mean, you can brush over if you want to. You can say those are bygone days, even though it's 90% of the existence of our 1492 Sailing the Ocean Blue experience, is that it doesn't pass by God. In the Third Great Awakening, Rick Joyner talks about a Third Great Awakening, you know, coming to America, and it would come through the African-American. It would come through that garment of the body of Christ. And imagine if America misses the Third Great Awakening because you don't recognize that's Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It has been done before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is that, you know, we're talking about, you know, how I feel. This is my own personal conviction after watching, you know, what apostles do and seeing Dr. King as a Christian American apostle. I mean, if he was Chinese, if he was in South Africa, if he was in Israel, it'd be different. But he lived in the context of our own nation. So you can look at this Christian in the context of our own nation and how he performed and lived his life loyal to the Constitution, loyal to Jesus, and in love. Mm. And so it's like, wow, it's somebody that we as Christian Americans look to. And you may ask the question, I mean, that you think, well, why would there be so much focus on Dr. King? Well, think about it. He's an American Christian apostle, a man who, no matter what you think, led us to the original intent that God had for this country before the spirit of oppression and stuff pushed its way into the Constitution and kind of forced this ratification of a document whose original intent wasn't that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, that's huge. That's huge. And you can talk about all these other folks, and they were pretty much there in 1963 on the Mall, but it wasn't until he spoke. And that's how you know, did not your hearts burn, America? Mm. Do not they burn today when you hear the words of Dr. King in the Mall when he's speaking in 1963?
Mm-hmm.
You see, yeah, that's the difference. The difference is, people can say a lot of important things and do the right things, and what they're saying is absolutely right. But when God is doing it and he's using a man or woman, when they speak, those words burn in your heart. So you recognize Dr. King for who he was and who God brought him to be in our nation by the fact that our hearts still burn today. They burn today with the words of what he said. They burn today with the fact that he talks about, you know, seeing God and understanding the perspective and that we're all of God's children and that we all will walk together. And an unjust law is no law at all, because the Constitution preamble talks about justice for all and for our children's children's children. And that's how you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to ask the question, you know, why Dr. King? That's why.
Mm.
You can say what you want to, but America's hearts are still burning with the words. People are prostituting who he is. People are using his narrative, but they've doing that to Jesus.
Right.
But the very fact is that you're still having to deal with the words spoken out by this man in the mall, who you're obviously, if you're saying that, you don't recognize him because Jesus came to you in a different form. Mm. And Jesus is speaking through him, and the nation's heart burns. And you know why? Because he speaks the truth of God and the truth of our nation. We were confronted with our realities and that generation was. And so I want to just let you know that's the reason why. And so if you're thinking, well, why don't we focus on other folks and focus on, first of all, we're talking from a Christian perspective. You know, that's because if we were in Israel, we would be Christian Israelis. If we were in China, we would be Christian Chinese if they would let us. You know, if, you see, understand, it's about loyalty to Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the church. We're not talking about, you know, American politics. We're not talking about trying to change folks who don't even walk with God. We're talking about us. And so as the church, that's why we would talk about that. And you think, you know, why such a big deal about Dr. King? That's why our hearts are still burning today.
That's right.
And so I just want to encourage you. And, you know, you look at it happened with the apostles of the past, and it even happens with God, where people begin to form their own God and use his name. They begin to form their own version of Peter, their own version. You know, he was the head of the rock of the Catholic, you know. They just form stuff. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't change who people originally are and who God called them to be. And it doesn't change Jesus, because you want to shape him into your perspective of him into a different Jesus. He's still the same Jesus.
That's right.
You just lost out because that wasn't him. And so, and I just want to say that. I just want to speak that out. So we, as the church, begin to say, dear Lord, you called us to go win the nations to you in the family, our brothers and our sisters. And you told us right out front that you are love. I mean, you're not, you don't love, you are love. Mm-hmm. And then you say that whatever we do to the least of these who are yours, we do to you. And you confronted us with that reality with Saul. But then you said, and if we don't love our brother, we don't know you. We don't know you because of the fact God is love. And not to God your brother, you know, not to love your brother. It's just totally missed God. For God so loved the world, he loved your ethnicity. He loved their ethnicity, and all the beautiful rainbows and cultures of this world so much that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life, and made him the Lord of their life. And that he then begins, at that point, we have a new king. We're no longer part of this world, even though we are. We're in it, but not of it. And we've been made a new nation, a new ethnos in God. So we, even though people look at us and they see the different textures and the different colors of our ethnicity, we see ourselves as brothers and sisters in the Lord, who has the same Father, Father God, who loves us all, who sent his Son, our Lord and elder brother, who died for us all, and we're the family of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here
as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.